I know you don't smoke weed. I know this. But I'm gonna get you high today. Cause it's Friday, you ain't got no job, and you ain't got shit to do.
Over that first domino and sign up for the ticket's 7th annual Mullen & Mullen Injury Law Firm Donovan's DFW Dominoes Classic at Canvas Sport & Social. Playing spots are limited. All proceeds benefit at lastboarding.com. From Sports Radio, 96.7 and 1310, The Ticket.
Join the Musers on Wednesday as they broadcast from the Heritage Auctions headquarters. Get a first look at Heritage's Summer Platinum Night Sports Auction featuring Babe Ruth's 1923 Yankee World Championship watch, the only 2007 Upper Deck Dual Logo Man featuring Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant and other one-of-a-kind memorabilia. The Musers at Heritage Auctions on Wednesday. Doors open at 7 a.m.
Thank you, Saad. It is 5:41 here on a Friday. It's the Hardline. Dave Lane in, Corby and Bob out in their place, DJ Ringenberg and Kevin Landrum. Happy to have you here as we broadcast for another hour and 20 minutes and put a cap on this week, leading you into Cowboys preseason game number 2 on Saturday. Big Rangers series, a lot of sports stuff going on. But we're going to have fun for the rest of today's program as the great Donovan is going to join us at 6:15. We're going to have community quick hits coming up here in about 15 minutes. And right now, Friday Fun is brought to you by
Twin Peaks, Eats, Drinks, Scenic Views, and American Leaf Detection.
Now, Lando, is it true that Dave pinned both of us up against the walls outside in the hallway here, lifted us up by our throat, one hand in each, and said, I'm talking about King of the Hill today?
Yeah, there was more flatulence.
No, it is. That is a mischaracterization of what happened. I got a text from you and said, you need to watch these two episodes of King of the Hill because it's the best show on TV right now.
We've got nothing else, Dave. We need to do this. We have no other ideas for Friday Fun.
Yeah, because we've talked about the show previous. The reboot season 14, came out at the beginning of August on Hulu. And Corby has talked about watching the first couple episodes. And I've watched the first couple as well. And in a nutshell, bit of it is that Hank and Peggy have been living in Saudi Arabia.
Or Saudi Arabia, Peggy says it.
Saudi Arabia. And they had a posh life as he was working in the propane industry in the Middle East. And then his contract, I guess, comes to an end, and they decide that they want to move back to Arlen.
Yes.
And the whole bit is, it appears, every episode, it's like they, in the writer's room, they got out a whiteboard and they said, what are all the things that have happened in society, in technology, since the last time King of the Hill was on the air? Rideshare, Nextdoor app,
yeah.
Ring doorbell cams, whatever. All of these things that, for whatever reason, they don't have in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
And so now Hank and Peggy come back and they are fish out of water in their own hometown. And that's played for laughs, I guess. And I self-admitted, I was never a huge King of the Hill fan to begin with. I love Mike Judge, but I always found King of the Hill kind of boring.
Okay.
And that's a me problem.
Are you the adult animation just not a big fan of that in general?
No, here's the comparison that I will make is that I'm a big fan of The Simpsons and Family Guy.
Okay.
And
I think the difference there is those are more cartoony. These are if you just drew real people.
Yes, that's what I'm saying is that the pacing of a Family Guy episode or a Simpsons episode is, constant punches, constant punch lines, and the energy is high. Whereas in a King of the Hill episode, it is A Day in the Life, and it is a slower pace.
It's character and plot driven.
Yeah, and so it's not that it's not entertaining, it's just not what I go to cartoons for, I guess.
Gotcha.
And so that's kind of where I've always been with it, but I was given the assignment to watch episode 7 and episode 9 of this current season. Episode 7, Any Given Hill Day, and episode 9, No Hank Left Behind. And so we can take these one at a time. The main plot points in Any Given Hill Day, Bobby, who is now 21 and has a girlfriend and is a chef at the Japanese Hill Country German fusion restaurant, it's funny, but he wants to bond with Hank because he feels like they've grown apart because they've been apart. And so his girlfriend says, hey, I can get you into this Cowboys fantasy camp. You know, because Bobby can't afford to buy tickets to a Cowboy game, but they have a fantasy camp, which doesn't really make sense.
It's close to real life. You can't get tickets.
Yeah. And then the other subplot is, you know, because Peggy is upset that everybody is living online and no one talks to each other and everybody bitches anonymously on the neighbor app, that she starts a kind of a front yard bookstore of those, you know, what do you call those?
It's like a neighborhood box.
Neighborhood library.
Yeah. So I will say before you continue, that outline of this episode, that is a classic King of the Hill style of episode.
Two plot lines, one with Hank, one with Peggy.
Typically, I mean, at its core, that show in its first run was about Hank and Bobby and their relationship and how they navigate all that. But the premise of, because Hank's a Cowboys fan and everything, that comes up a lot in the original run of the show. But
Bobby's always been a kind of a disappointment,
right,
because
yeah.
He's not a man's man like Hank always wanted, but he still loves his son. So it circles back and it's all nice and feels good.
Yeah, so that's the basic setup. And, okay, I'm going to just broadly say in each of these episodes, I laughed one time.
Okay.
One time per episode. And do you want to play any of the clips for episode 7?
Yeah, we can play the ones here. They're mashed together because you do get a couple of Cowboys mentioned, and you actually get the voice of Micah Parsons here. They also feature Jerry Jones in it as well, but it's the least Jerry-sounding Jerry impression that's ever been done.
Not Gordon.
But it is a good, if brief, Micah cameo.
Yeah, so let's play the second clip, Pam.
Trust me, I wish you were coming instead of Bobby's weird girlfriend, but at least I get to spend some time with my son.
I will forgive you if you bring me a lock of Trayvon Diggs's hair.
I'm not going to do that,
Will. Noted.
I'm Micah Parsons, but for the next 2 days, you can call me Coach.
Where's Willow?
Oh, she found a bird in the locker room and had to herd it outside.
Sorry, I'm late. What'd I miss?
You can do cartwheels over there.
You're uphill.
It's like an action montage. They're playing flag football and making diving catches and everything.
Not bad, Bobby. If you played like that in high school, we would have had something to work with.
I don't know. I just got lucky.
Well done, Hill Boys.
Did you hear that?
Sure did. Hill Boys, that's us.
And that's the extent of Micah Parsons being in the...
he recorded two lines.
I was kind of expecting more.
Yeah.
But that's all we got. That and the weird Dale request for a log of Trayvon Diggs'
hair. Again, it's right on par with what Dale would have asked for in the first run of the show.
So the crux of this episode is that Willow, the girlfriend, she turns out to be really good at football because she bonded with her dad over football, and her dad was a big Cowboys fan.
I think her dad was maybe an employee of the Cowboys.
Okay. And so, and they also had the very tenuous plot line that Jerry's office is in AT&T Stadium,
right,
where one of the suites is. And so they say, if you see his shadow, that means he's in there. And so towards the end of the episode, they think they see Jerry's shadow. They go up there. Turns out it's Willow, and she has a picture of Jerry Jones on Jerry's desk, and she's squatting over it and taking a dump on it because she blames Jerry for her father's death.
Yeah.
And so that led to my only laugh of the episode as they all leave, and then Jerry discovers the turd on his desk, and he calls security and says, yeah, it happened again.
Which is pretty funny.
Yeah, yeah, so that actually got a laugh out of me. But for the most part, you know, like we said, it's a slow burn.
Yeah.
It's a slow burn, and if you like the characters, if you're invested in the characters, then it's enjoyable, but I am not. So then you get to episode 9 and you have a brand new character that I was not privy to at all.
A character who was a baby during the original run.
Oh yeah, Connie.
Not Connie.
Who are we talking about?
G.H.
Yeah.
Oh, G.H.
Good
right.
Hank.
That's right.
Hank. So Hank's dad evidently had a late in life baby.
Yes, he did.
And now Hank's dad is dead. But they are like at some kind of settlement, reading of a settlement.
Mm-hmm.
And so Hank is there with his dad's
his Japanese
widow.
Brother.
Yeah. Yeah, his dad's widow and good Hank. And they both get like $5,000 in whatever this settlement is. And so Connie, the mom, wants Hank to take good Hank under his wing because he doesn't have a father figure anymore, and Hank's dad was an a-hole anyway.
He was.
And so...
like a legendary a-hole.
So in order to bond, good Hank shows him this YouTube video of this guy who's like a douche bro.
Right.
Who has like a self-help seminar. And the four F's
like
of
an alpha camp.
I've got that.
Faith.
Let's listen to that
the
audio
four
here.
Four F's are funny.
Three.
It's what you're doing all the time. It's natural, but it's setting up unrealistic expectations. Most repairmen won't accept payment in anything other than cash or.
It's not porn. I'm looking into personal development opportunities.
Okay, well, let's see then.
Hey, man, if you're watching this, you're probably feeling purposeless and weak, like you're waiting in a pit of crap. That's because you've lost track of the four F-bombs. Family, faith, finances, and fitness. Don't worry, we've all been there. Over the course of one weekend, I can give you the tools to build up your F-bombs. But only those committed and relentless can crawl out of that crappy pit, man-made.
This looks like some good old-fashioned character building.
Eli's the GOAT. He has a 2-day boot camp in our coming to Arlen tomorrow. I was going to go with my settlement money, but boys under 18 can't go without an adult male mentor.
I tell you what, GH, I'll be your mentor, although I don't see how that's better than mentor, but I'll also even pay for it as long as you complete all the F-bombs.
Sick!
All right, you can cut it there. All right.
Yeah, so they go.
So it's like an Andrew Tate, like, right. Super male, yeah. Testosterone, be an alpha type thing.
And it turns out to just be a front for blatant misogyny.
Yes.
And blaming women for all your problems. And the only time I laughed during that was during one of the meetings when they were talking about whether or not jellyfish have penises. And that... I told you we're not going to talk about which animals do and don't have penises. On brand for me to laugh at the penis joke. But again, it's just it's this character that I don't know, and he's trying to bond with Hank, or Hank's trying to bond with him, and they're always working towards a life lesson or some kind of breakthrough in relationships. And it's just okay. It's all just right. Okay. I mean, sell me on it. Why was episode 9 one of the ones that you wanted me to watch?
Again, you fall more to the heart of the actual show in that Hank is trying to bond with, you know, Bob, G.H. is a replacement for Bobby, but trying to bond with him, he's trying to teach a life lesson, and he encounters a ridiculous person that shows up in Arlen like they usually do, and Hank is the voice of reason and is the one that is going to sniff out the fraud in a way. But that's what the show is. That the reason why this works now is because they're not trying something that different from what they used to do.
Yeah.
I don't know if I sold you on anything.
No. But I get it. And the subplot, you have Peggy and Bobby, because Bobby was supposed to play pickleball.
That's right.
With Peggy, and then he doesn't show up because he has to work, and she hurts her knee, and then she has to go to an MRI, and she keeps having panic attacks, but it's really psychosomatic because she feels like she's losing her son.
Yeah.
And so, again, it goes back to family dynamics, and it's, you know, heartstrings and all of that. But if you're not invested in the characters, if you haven't watched them for 13 seasons before this, then it's kind of hard to jump into.
I think that's fair.
And it's definitely not.
I'm not a hater.
No, that's fair. And these are definitely not as good as the heyday episodes of the original run. But I also wouldn't be surprised if there's another season beyond this.
Yeah, because it sort of ended abruptly.
I thought so too. And there's enough threads. And they didn't expound on all of the storylines that I thought were possible. So I feel like they're gearing up and they're probably going to have another. But
we're late.
The original, we're late, and the original was good enough. It deserved a try again, so if they want to keep trying, let's do it.